Blog Talk Radio.
Hey everybody, welcome to another edition of the NFL Draft Bible's Draft Digest. I'm your host, Daniel Moglione. With me is our draft guru, Justin Van Fulpen, and we are going to set you up for week 12 as well as his top in the scouting world. Hey Justin, how's everything going today?
Good, man. Can't complain. We're starting to get down to the end of college football season. Get to see what teams are going to what bowls, and it's an exciting time. Not only in college football, but as well as the NFL, where a lot of these guys are aspiring to go to.
Yeah, no, definitely, no doubt about it. Now, let's before we get into some of the games, let's talk about a couple of things that are going on in the world of college football and leading stuff that leads into. I saw with C.J. Spiller. I mean, I know nobody's going to draft him or his stock isn't going to necessarily go up because he threw a touchdown pass, but it was just an amazing performance by him last week, throwing a touchdown, catching one, running for one. We obviously all know about his return abilities and what he can do from that aspect of the game. It's just amazing. He took all purpose to another level. How much has his draft stock improved? I mean, we all thought he was probably going to be around a first-round pick, probably going to be the top senior back, but could he be creeping towards the first half of the first round?
I think what we've seen here with those smaller running backs, I think it's going to depend on his workout numbers. I think he's a late first-round guy, depending on, I think, Jahvid Best and Jonathan Dwyer, the two junior running backs who are expected to come out earlier, are ahead of him when we talk about overall running backs, but obviously he is the number one senior running back. I think he is kind of in that late, 29, 28, 30-something right now. If he runs a 4.2, 4.3, something like that, just amazing, then, yeah, maybe he's in that range where everybody says, hey, is this the next Chris Johnson? Because I think that's kind of where he kind of compares to a guy who can use his speed, use his elusiveness to really make plays on the field. And we've seen what Chris Johnson's been able to do this season, really had an outstanding season in the NFL. I think also he brings that aspect, like you said, hey, he threw a football, threw a pass there. And, everybody's in love with the Wildcat. We'll see it on display tonight in the NFL with, the Miami Dolphins who, started it out there. So I think that brings some extra value. We'll see what Ronnie Brown's been able to do. Obviously, unfortunately, he's out for the season, but he's a guy who kind of has evolved into that, hey, if you're a running back who can kind of throw the football, you could, be a Wildcat-type running back. And I think C.J. Spiller, a lot of people are kind of, he's a dark horse for the Heisman Trophy. There, and I think he's got to have a couple other good games to really kind of boost his stock in the Heisman, but I think he's around that first round, but I think he'll probably end up getting late, first round, early, top of the second round, so he's a guy who's going to be exciting at the next level, that's for sure.
He's just an unbelievable dynamic talent. I mean, feature back, third down back, he can catch the ball coming out of the backfield. You can line him up outside a receiver. He can return punts. He can return kicks. And now you throw in that potential that you've been talking about as a Wildcat guy. He just brings, that word that, you're going to hear over and over and over again as we get closer to the draft, value. He brings so much value to a team, and he almost occupies two or three roster spots with what he can do. Now, obviously, if you want to use him a lot, you're probably going to have to team up with another tailback. If you want to spread him around and use him in so many different spots.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I mean, he's a guy, you need a dual-type back, backfield. And we've seen teams going to that, a lot of teams, the two teams that we're going to see out tonight. I mean, obviously, Carolina has two first-round running backs that's on their team, Jonathan Stewart and Deshaun, D'Angelo Williams. That's what we're seeing. Those types of those two-type running backs, their systems, and he fits into that well. And, he's gonna make a mark. He's gonna make some big plays at the next level. That's for sure.
Now let's move on and talk about Tony Pike, another senior. We talked about C.J. Spiller as the likely number one senior running back. Tony Pike is, I don't think he's solidified as the number one senior quarterback, but I think he's in the conversation at least. Now, first, let's talk about how he was used last week. I thought it was kind of bizarre myself. I'm a huge. Kelly fan, Coach Kelly from Cincinnati. I love what he's doing. We had him on a couple of years ago on our show, and he was talking about, hey, if you're in the Big East, you got to think of yourself as a BCS team. And people thought it was kind of funny when he said that 2 years ago, but look what the Bearcats have done since then. Now, having said that, I thought it was a little strange that he only used Pike when they got inside the 10-yard line last week against West Virginia. It worked. He completed 2 of 4 passes, both went for touchdowns. But what did you think of that strategy of that's how he's working him back into the lineup?
I think, you know, he said, hey, we know what we want to do in the red zone, and that's throw the football. And, you know, as far as he's the best, you know, pure passer on that team, and he's a guy who can make those plays and make those throws, and that's when we look at him to the next level. He's a big kid, 6'6", can see over the defense, you know, a guy who can make some plays. And as we all went, when he kind of got hot before the injury, everyone was kind of, you know, comparing maybe to a Joe Flacco. Never thought he had the arm strength of what Flacco has, but he does compare well. Decent athlete, not great, you know, big, you know, strong, you know, quarterback there. And I think as far as he's going to be a guy who's going to be in that mix or that number one quarterback spot when we kind of get down. I think it's between him, Colt McCoy, Dan LaFleur from, you know, Central Michigan, and maybe Tim Tebow is a guy. I've gone on record saying I don't think Tim Tebow is going to be an NFL quarterback, more of a Wildcat, more of a Pat White type of guy there. But I think, you know, he's probably a second-round type guy. You know, some teams might look at him saying, hey, we can develop him. I think he's got to get stronger as far as he just needs to fill out a little bit. And as far as his arm strength, there's some questions there. But I think going back to your original question, I think that's what Kelly wanted to do because they wanted to use his passing skills and because he's not the overall great athlete that they've got on that team.
Now, you know, the fact that Zach Collaros has been so successful there, you know, other quarterbacks have had to deal with the quote-unquote system quarterback thing hovering over them a little bit. Do you think the fact that, you know, this kid, a relatively unknown kid, sophomore, steps in almost seamlessly and is as effective and maybe even, you know, more effective than Tony Pike, does that hurt Pike's stock at all?
I don't think so, because I think when you look at it, I think Marty Gilliard is a guy who's helped both of them tremendously, a guy who I think is, you know, one, either the number one or the number two, you know, senior wide receiver, a great, you know, quarterback. They've got some other young, you know, receivers there, some young, you know, skill talent there. So I don't think that him coming in there and stepping, I think it just solidifies what type of talent that Cincinnati has, and people really got to take notice of that and say, hey, these guys are for real. If Texas, you know, slips up, they're going to be playing whoever the winner of that SEC championship game is for the national title.
Now, how about moving forward? How important is it for Tony Pike to, you know, play more in these last couple of games, you know, whether it be against Illinois or the finale against Pittsburgh and leading into the bowl? You know, I think it's kind of up in the air. Originally, Coach Kelly said it was an automatic, as, you know, when Pike is healthy, he's going to be the guy. But most recently, he said he may have to rethink that. So, you know, could it hurt Pike if he doesn't reclaim his job and we won't really see him play much until in the All-Star game process?
Yeah, I think it does hurt him. I think he needs to get on and show, you know, against Illinois, against Pittsburgh, and against whatever bowl game they go to, that he needs to show, hey, because he's had some injury problems. I mean, this isn't new for, you know, him and having the injury bug. He needs to show, hey, I can get back out there, I can make plays, I can throw the football and do what I'm asked to do. And if he does that, he kind of gets, because his stock has dropped with NFL scouts. Guys I've talked to and said, hey, you know, where is he at? I mean, they thought, you know, he was in that discussion for that number one overall quarterback, senior quarterback. And with the injury, they've kind of said, hey, does this guy have an injury problem? If we draft him, you know, how durable is he? And so I think he needs to show against Illinois, against Pittsburgh, and, you know, and lead Cincinnati to an undefeated season. Then he reclaims back into that discussion for that number one overall senior quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, I love him as a prospect, and I'm leaning towards him as my number one guy, but durability is definitely a concern. You look at him play, he's a skinny kid. He's going to need to put on some weight if he's going to take on the pounding of being an NFL quarterback. They take some big hits back there, and, you know, in addition to the issue with his left arm, and that seems to be a potential problem down the road, but I think just the overall durability is a concern. Now, you brought up Marty Gilliard and how he's kind of helped both of these guys. So in a weird way, has this helped his stock from the sense of, hey, you know, this guy is – it might not be the quarterback that makes this offense go. It might be this wide receiver.
I think definitely. I mean, I've talked with, you know, a number of NFL scouts and said they said, hey, this guy is our number one senior wide receiver. You know, just his ability to be able to run routes. You know, he's not, you know, he got timed in the 40 in the spring, and he was a 4.59 type guy. So wasn't a blazer, you know, but he's able to get in and out of his cuts. He's a guy who is a number two guy. Kind of, you know, he's not to the Reggie Wayne type level, but when Reggie Wayne came to the NFL, he was a number two to Marvin Harrison and did a great job in running routes. Wasn't the biggest, wasn't the fastest, but was able to get it in and out of his breaks. And then when I watch Marty Gilliard, I really see that, a guy who can really read the coverages, it really knows what the offense wants to do, does a good job running his routes, and makes up for that lack of real true blazer type speed. So when they get him on the clock, you know, when everybody's watching NFL Network and watching guys run the 40s, they're going to kind of be disappointed, I think, you know, when they see, hey, he's a 4.55 guy or something like that. But I think when you get him out on the field, that's where his true value comes. And so I think he's going to be a guy who maybe his draft stock will slip, you know, as we go through this process, the combine, the workouts and stuff like that. But when he gets on the field, whatever team drafts him will say, hey, this guy's a steal. This guy was the real deal, and he's going to be a great number two in the NFL, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with you. I think you can definitely make a case for him as the number one senior wide receiver. I think a team that's going to take him is not going to be necessarily a team that's looking for the most upside from the wide receiver position. You know, some teams look for the upside, they shoot for the stars, and sometimes you get those boom or bust guys. Other teams like to play it more safe and say, hey, which guy isn't going to bust? I think Marty Gilliard is a guy that isn't going to bust, and it's going to be a safe pick with a chance to be, like you said, a very good number two receiver. And, you know, who knows down the road? Often we label guys as number two wide receivers, and as you pointed out often with a guy like Reggie Wayne, they surprise everybody and emerge as number ones. Now, you know, Justin, you know, before we get into some of the games specifically this weekend, I wanted to talk a little bit about Wisconsin. And, you know, this is a team that, you know, they're playing their last game this week against Northwestern. And so before they kind of get away from us until bowl season comes around, I think they have kind of an intriguing offense. You know, first let's start with Garrett Graham, their tight end, kind of H-back type player. How do you think he's fared this season, and where do you see him going in the draft?
Well, you know, I think he's done well. I think he's done what he thought he would have done. You know, there was some talk about him leaving early, you know, last year. The problem is he, like you said, he's more of an H-back, more of a fullback. You know, he's not that inline type blocker tight end, and he's not the greatest athlete. You'd say, hey, let's put him in the slot like a Dallas Clark type guy. You know, so I think, you know, he goes to the team, you know, kind of reminds me of a Frank Wycheck type, you know, tight end that the Tennessee Titans use a lot in motion, you know, was able to, was a very good receiver, and I think that's where he brings that value to. And so to me, he's a third, fourth type round, you know, draft pick when it's all said and done. But he's going to go to a team, he's going to be a hard worker, a guy that's a dependable receiver, you know, and a guy who's going to make, you know, plays that, you know, translate into first downs.
Yeah, he's never going to be that Antonio Gates guy, that Tony Gonzalez guy, where he's the number one wide receiver on his team. But like you said, a white check guy, complimentary player. What you got to love about Graham is he knows how to run routes. He's like a zone buster. He knows how to find that little spot in the zone, and he rarely, if ever, drops the football. And, you know, he's not a phenomenal athlete, but if you sleep on him, he can make some plays after the catch as well. Now, one underclassman here that I think is kind of intriguing is John Clay, who's a redshirt sophomore, and I believe you had him listed as a guy who might be somebody who could declare early. If he does declare, what do you see him in the future in the NFL? You know, the Wisconsin Badger big backs haven't necessarily been NFL studs so far.
No, I mean, going back to Ron Dane, I mean, Ron Dane was, you know, an early draft pick, a first-round type guy who kind of, you know, busted out there. You know, we saw P.J. Hill came out early this past year and went undrafted. But I think what happened, yeah, I think, you know, John Clay is a different – I think he's got more speed than those two guys, those two big backs. But he's a guy, I think, you know, declares early, you know, is going to leave probably a third-round pick, I think, right now when it's all said and done. But I think he's a guy who could come to the NFL, be a kind of a workhorse-type back. You know, you pair him with another running back. He's a guy that, you know, you run a, you know, first and second down, and then third down back, and more of a speed guy, more of a guy who we had talked about earlier, like a C.J. Spiller type running back, comes in there. But I think he's a workhorse guy that, you know, can carry the ball 15, 20 times a game and get you, you know, a four-yard average. Probably not going to bust out those 80-yard runs, but it's going to be a workman-like guy and somebody that's going to be a valuable addition to your team.
I'll tell you one thing. You know, I asked him about coming from Wisconsin and those big backs there, and he's a Wisconsin native. So, yeah, he's followed the guys like P.J. Hill and Ron Dayne, and, you know, he appreciates the comparisons and is honored to be mentioned with those guys. But you know who he actually emulates? He loves Jim Brown. That's why he wears number 32. And if you watch him play, he even told me he likes to get up kind of slow how Jim Brown did to kind of rope-a-dope the opposition and then try to hit him hard on the next play.
Yeah, I mean, he could turn it out and be a great running back. I mean, we've seen third-round guys that gone on to be very good running backs, very good additions. I mean, you know, Terrell Davis was a sixth-round draft pick and turned out to be a 2,000-yard running back. I mean, so running backs is hard because, you know, they can be non-drafted guys and come out and be great guys. They can be first-round guys and be busts. I mean, I think that's one of the positions that it's, you know, that there's so many factors that are there, and those guys can come in there and contribute right away. I mean, look at what Knowshon Moreno's doing. Look what Vinny Wells has done, you know, this year. I mean, those guys can come on and do a lot for a team in a short period of time. They don't take a long time to develop like a receiver, you know, normally does in the NFL.
Yeah, it's one of those positions where typically either you got it or you don't. And like you said, it shows right away. It kind of translates right away to the field. I just want to throw out the name of Nick Toon as well there. Being a Jet fan and somebody who grew up going Toon when Big at number 88 Al used to catch the football, it's fun to see a Toon out there again in a Wisconsin jersey, and he's really come on strong this season. He's definitely somebody I think, you know, not for this draft, but moving forward, somebody for people to keep their eye on. Now, Justin, you know, a lot of the big games this weekend are in the Pac-10, and the game of the week, I think, is Oregon going there to Arizona to take on the Wildcats. Both of these teams, you know, we have about six teams actually either have two or three losses in the Pac-10, very bunched up. I just spoke to Coach Riley from Oregon State, and you know, we were laughing about how close these teams are and how much they beat each other up. But the two teams that do control their own destiny are Arizona and Oregon. So, you know, let's take a look into this game. I think most of the potential talent in terms of the juniors and the seniors lie on the defensive side of the ball. Which team do you want to go with first, Arizona or Oregon?
This is Oregon.
Let's go Oregon first then. I mean, obviously, Walter Thurman is out. He would have been the first guy we would have talked about. How about those linebackers? Who do you like there from that linebacking core? You have Casey Matthews, their leading tackler, brother of Clay Matthews. You have the Spencer Paysinger, who's a hard hitter, and Eddie Pleasant, who's a speedy guy. Which one of those guys kind of pops out to you?
I don't think you can go wrong with the Matthews name. I mean, we saw what, you know, what his brother's been able to do with Aaron Green Bay. We've seen what his dad, what his uncle's, you know, done. I mean, he's a guy who's going to, you know, come to the NFL, be a workman guy, probably a guy who's going to stay in the NFL for 10 years and just really be a productive type, you know, backer there. I think he's a good athlete to be able to, you know, do both. He can cover, he can, you know, support the run, he can rush the passer. So he's a guy who, you know, I don't think he's going to be as drafted as high as his brother was this past season with Green Bay. I don't think he's a first-round type guy, but he's a guy that's going to be a consistent player at the next level.
Now, moving up on the defense, staying in the front seven, but moving up to that front line, and, you know, let me also point out to the listeners out there that Paysinger and Matthews are both juniors, and, you know, I'd kind of expect both of them to return. Another junior that has emerged as their best pass rusher is Kenny Rowe, and then they also have a senior defensive end, Will Tuka'afa. I mean, I always butcher these names, so I'm sorry about that, Willie. But what do you think of those two defensive ends?
Well, this is the guys, you know, we saw what they could do at the USC game, and that was really as far as rush the passer, and really be that those guys who are going to put pressure, you know, on the quarterback, and that's what their forte is. And you know, I think what they've got to just get more consistent and, you know, really do, you know, some better jobs there in some of their techniques and using some type of counter moves, you know, and I think both those guys are guys that are going to play at the next level.
And then the guy who I like the most on his defense is their safety, senior safety, T.J. Ward. And this is a debate for a later day, but I actually think he might be the best safety in the Pac-10, if you know what I mean. You know where I'm going with that. But we're going to save that debate for another day. You know, I mean, I want a stat of how many touchdown passes have been thrown right in front of Taylor Mays. I want somebody to look that up for me.
Well, I'm going to tell you, Taylor Mays is going to get drafted a lot higher and make a lot more money than him. Let me just say it. Sorry.
Well, I'll give you that. I won't argue there. There's no way, you know, he's definitely going to get drafted higher. But tell us about Ward. You know, definitely not the physical specimen of a Taylor Mays, but tell us what he can do and what he brings to the table.
Well, I mean, he's a guy who was a highly recruited guy, you know, had a knee injury, you know, walked on to Oregon, a guy who's played corner. He's a good cover guy. You know, he's a guy who's, you know, can play, you know, the run. He's not that in-the-box type safety. He's a guy who's more of a free safety who can cover. He can cover tight end, cover running back, and get out there, maybe even cover some receivers in the slot. So that's what I like about him. What he brings to the table is a guy who can really cover in that secondary, and a guy who, like I said, had played corner in the past and was a highly recruited guy until he had a knee injury. He's missed a significant part of the season. He's only played in about 5 or 6 games this season, and still has really been up there. And if you look at statistics, you know, he's been a guy who's, you know, made a lot of plays for Oregon when he's been in there. So hopefully he can stay healthy for the rest of the season. And he's a guy, to me, who's probably the 4th, 5th best safety, overall senior safety, and a guy who's probably going to get drafted, you know, in the second, third round when it's all said and done.
Well, you know, that sounds about right. Now, on the offensive side of the ball, you know, one guy that's an interesting conversation here, and we don't even know if he's going to play, LeGarrette Blount. You know, he suited up last week, didn't get the football. Who knows if he's going to see any action this week. Well, what's your take on this whole process? Personally, I love how this has gone down, you know, where obviously I didn't love how it started and the fight, but I love how Oregon handled it, and I'm liking how LeGarrette handled it. How much do you think it helps him that he didn't just walk away and leave the program, kind of like a Mike Williams did at Syracuse, that he stuck around even though nothing was guaranteed to him, nothing was promised to him, he stuck around, went to class, did the scout team stuff. How much does that help his image in the eyes of the NFL scouts and talent evaluators?
It helps immensely. I mean, this was a guy who, like you said, could have quit, could have left, could have did whatever, decided to stick around. So when he goes to the combine, which I expect him to get invited to the combine, and when he goes through, you know, as far as goes to Pullman's and all these, when they're interviewing guys, they're doing different things, they're pulling guys here and pulling guys there, you know, he's going to be able to say, okay, hey, I made a mistake. This is what I did to correct the mistake. If something happens at the next level, you know, where we've seen a lot of incidents go down, hey, I'm going to stand up and take responsibility for my actions and try to do whatever the coach says, even if I don't like the decision, you know. And he's a guy, to me, of when we came this season, we were looking at running backs, and we were talking about C.J. Spiller and Charles Scott, and he was right in that conversation to be in that mix of, hey, you know, because he's a big physical back, he's got some speed, got some wiggle, you know, a guy who rushed for over 1,000 yards last season, and we were splitting time. And he's a guy who I really liked as a prospect. Now, he made that incident there against Boise State with the punch, got kicked off the team, and everybody wrote him off. You know, whether it was, you know, guys on ESPN or, you know, other media, they said, hey, he won't get drafted, won't play, you know. But he did what he needed to do to really prove to those NFL scouts, saying, hey, maybe you guys aren't going to draft me as high as what I would have had a great senior season. Okay, I know I cost myself a bunch of money, but I want to get in the NFL, I want to show what I can do, and then when it's all said and done, I think that's what's going to happen. I think he still gets drafted. I think it's probably 6th, 7th round, and somebody will take a flyer on him because he's going to work out well, he's going to show in the triangle numbers that he's a guy that's a physical specimen, and he's going to be a guy that's, you know, going to come onto a team, be a third, you know, running back, you know, be a 4th-string running back, and he's going to work off. I expect this guy to be a guy that's going to be maybe be that real sleeper guy that we talked about, a running back that was a 6th-round pick in Terrell Davis. You know, a guy who's, hey, can come on and be a stud.
Yeah, I think so far he's handled himself, perfectly after that incident. And, you know, obviously there's still going to be the question mark lingering over him in terms of character. But to this point, he's shown more maturity than often NFL players do. Now, Arizona, you know, doesn't have as many guys as Oregon does. But one guy who's having a pretty good year is a junior defensive end, Ricky Elmore, who's come on as a pass rusher. I believe he leads the Pac-10 And I can throw out there as well strong safety Cam Nelson as a potential sleeper, you know, late round guy. Where do you think those guys stack up?
Well, you know, I think they're guys, like you said, a late round guy, another guy who's a junior who I haven't heard that he's going to declare, but, you know, coming on and leading the Pac-10, guys can change their minds, you know, every day. You know, just depends what guys are going to leave or stay. But, you know, I think when it's all said and done, he'll come back to Arizona and have, you know, hopefully have to build on the, you know, his junior campaign and be a guy who's going to be one of those top senior defensive ends for next year.
And how about that strong safety, Cam Nelson? He might be the best, I guess, senior prospect on his defense.
Well, yeah, definitely. But, he, you know, he's a guy who can, you know, is more in-the-box type of safety and a guy who, you know, to me is probably a seventh-round, you know, draft choices. You know, I think he'll get invited to, you know, one of the lower all-star games, you know, and be able to try to, you know, shore his wear there. You know, as far as Arizona's always, we've seen, you know, put some pretty decent prospects in the NFL on the defensive side of the ball. They've really came on. I don't expect them to beat Oregon, but I expect it to be a pretty close game because, you know, Arizona's shown some, you know, shown some ability to play with the big boys here this year.
All right, well, I'm going with the upset. I'm going Wildcats at home. They're undefeated at home. Oregon's both losses have been away from home. And, you know, their defense, while they've been good for most of the year, you know, they've been inconsistent as well. Look at what Stanford did to them. And, you know, I just want to throw a couple names out there for people to watch for in this game in terms of stars of tomorrow in that Arizona secondary. Look for Trevin Wade at corner and Robert Golden at free safety to have big games. Now, another big game in the Pac-10 is the rivalry game Cal versus Stanford, and we've talked a lot about senior backs, you know, big backs. Charles Scott is hurt. LeGarrette Blount had his issue. How much has Toby Gerhart moved up in that ranking of senior backs, particularly if teams looking for that big physical between the tackles runner?
I mean, what he did against last week against USC, I mean, a guy who, you know, that USC defense who's got, you know, guys that will be first-round draft picks, you know, in this year's draft and next year's draft. And, you know, they've just got some talent on the defensive side of the football. He just ran, you know, showed a good, you know, showing against them. And he's done some good things this season. And to me, he's moved up in that, you know, upper half of those senior running backs, you know, in the top, probably in the top five right now when we're talking about senior running backs, maybe even a little bit higher than that. The biggest question mark, you know, is, hey, what's his top-end speed? Is he going to be a 4.6 guy or is he going to be a 4, you know, 4.4, you know, 5 guy? You know, where is he going to be in that measurables? Because that does translate in the NFL when we're talking about 40-yard dashes when it comes to running backs. And that's, I think, going to ultimately show where he's going to be drafted. Because I think he'll go either to the Senior Bowl, East-West Shrine Game, you know, and be a, you know, one of those running backs who will show well at the All-Star Game. Then they want to put that stopwatch on him and say, okay, hey, where is he at? And then ultimately to decide, hey, is he a second-round pick or, you know, a third-round pick? You know, I think that's going to be where he's going to end up in the mix. It's going to be depending on his workouts.
And, folks, keep an eye on that quarterback, too, Andrew Luck. He's just a freshman, but the kid has got an arm. He was overshadowed early on by Barkley, but don't be surprised if the best freshman quarterback in the Pac-10 is actually at Stanford, not USC. Now, I'm going to leave it open for you. Give us one guy to kind of spotlight on Cal for those watching that game this weekend.
You know, I think, you know, the biggest thing is Javon Best. I mean, does he play or not? I mean, I think, I don't know if that's been totally decided, but he's a guy who's, you know, going to be a star, going to be a first-round pick. I expect him to declare, and he's going to be a guy that everybody's going to be looking at as, hey, is he probably the first running back drafted in the 2010 NFL draft?
From what I understand, he's not going to play. I think we're going to see a lot of Shane Vereen, who Javon actually told me when I spoke to him a couple weeks ago. He's the one guy that's actually beat him a couple times in races, so they're still going to have some explosion in the backfield. And, Justin, I'm going to go with the upset again. Everybody is all over the Stanford bandwagon, up 14 in one of the polls. I don't want to knock Stanford. I love what they're doing. They deserve to be ranked. But, you know, just because they've looked great the last 2 weeks doesn't mean that they're suddenly invincible team. And I think Cal plays better as an underdog without expectations than they do when they're a favorite. So I'm going for a double dip Pac-10 upset this week with Cal winning this rivalry game. How about you?
I think Cal's probably got more talent than Stanford, and I think Cal will go ahead and you know, wins that game.
All right, now we only got about 45 seconds left. Quickly, Dexter McCluster, unbelievable game. You know, running the football, doing it all. doing as much as even C.J. Spiller all-purpose-wise. How does he do against LSU, and where's his stock?
Well, I think, you know, if he does well, he's a guy who's a third-round pick. If he doesn't do well, you know, he goes back to where he's what everybody thought. It's kind of a fifth-round pick. I mean, he really put it on as, you know, hey, is he Darren Sproles? You know, is he the next Darren Sproles? And, you know, really, if he can continue to do that, he's kind of slight-framed. And but he's a guy who, you know, looked amazing last week, but he's got to show it against the big boys in LSU.
All right, everybody, don't forget, go to NFLDraftBible.com, where you can check out all of Justin Collins, including his top 10 senior safeties. Thanks a lot, and talk to you next week.
Joining us now in this College Football Insider's Coach's Corner is head man Mike Riley of the Oregon State Beavers. Coach is 63-45 at Oregon State and 55-31 since his return in 2003, which includes a 5-0 bowl record. In between, he had a stint with the San Diego Chargers, and as a player, Coach Riley won 4 SEC titles with the Alabama Crimson Tide. So far this season, the Beavers are 7-3 and ranked in the top 25s of the AP Coaches Poll and the BCS. Hey, Coach, how you doing today?
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Always a pleasure, Coach. Always a pleasure. Now, let me ask you first, before we even get into your team, I mean, how crazy is this Pac-10? You got 6 schools within just 1 loss of each other. I mean, you know, trying to rank them is impossible.
Oh, it is. You know, and I think that we have been our own worst enemy that way. We beat each other up, and so nationally.
Joining me now in this College Football Insider's Player Spotlight is cornerback Kyle Wilson of the Boise State Broncos. Kyle was a first-team All-WAC corner last year and second-team All-WAC return man. So far this season, he's got 30 tackles, 3 interceptions, giving him 11 for his career, 2 of which he returned for a touchdown this season, and he's averaging 10.6 yards per punt return for the 10-0 Boise Broncos, who rank number 6 in the BCS. Kyle, thanks for joining us. How's it going?
Thank you. Everything's pretty good.
Blog Talk Radio.
Summer Blur Football Show.
Thank you. Jerry Froelich has been hurt. Snelling would be the running back, but the main running back, so they'd be down, which means they're going to re-control the ball more than they would usually, which would mean they would lose their short passing game, especially if the Giants were very vulnerable to that, which would mean Tony Gonzalez becomes an enormous factor on Sunday, especially with Ryan looking to probably play a safe game, and also Ryan Williams from down that who will play this week too, so he would be swept
short weapons,
It'll be interesting to see how he does in the limbs of the Giant Stadium. That was something that was an enormous game for the Falcons, who have not played well of late. They still have a game against the Bears and had their problems on the road. But one thing the Giants will have to do on Sunday is deal with one of the great tight ends of all time, which is just now to the Dallas Tony. My friend, that's what I'm saying. Yes, how are you doing? We're just chatting about Atlanta and the fact that really for the first time in his young career, your quarterback is going through what we would categorize as a swamp.
Yeah, you know what? If this is a swamp, like the only thing that comes out of it, because he's saying, play off. You know, I don't think he's playing as bad as everybody. And, you know, I guess it's not always that way. If they were as good as they say, it's not as bad as they say. So, but I think, you know, they had to work way too hard in order to not be successful, and eventually he does, I guess, come out of this one way, you know, like saying, I mean, are you going to be on fire? I think you're going to be in that third one, I'm so good. But last year, he didn't play, you know, and he played so well for the Steelers. He set a very high standard. This is what started talking about him.
Yeah.
Ready? Me, no. All right, I need to look like all right, let's do. Just
let me know if you come. Yeah, where are you meeting Joe?
After John.
Which is?
Across the street from the barn.
Oh, okay. So you guys want to do, we could either go to Rosateria or Chinese food?
Just text him.
You guys have a preference?
Yeah. I'll ask her.
All right, yeah. Let me know. Text me then. And because either one, you could, we could take a subway right from there. Can you do a favor? Text me when the next two buses are coming.
Huh?
Text me when the next two buses are coming. Thank you.
Radio. To hear important parts, your show is scheduled to start in 1 minute 39 seconds. Showtime.